Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, it's early November. How fun is that? We're thinking turkey. And if you aren't gobbling that up, I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, we're also thinking post-election, right? It just happened. So it's interesting that, and a lot of you may wonder, Robbie, do you sit there and schedule these things out months in advance or whatever? But it's interesting. God kind of orchestrates our guests. And it's kind of interesting to me that this particular show would have something to do with that. But again, as you listen, we always are hoping that you will hear something in what God called these folks to do that will encourage you with something you know, you've been knowing. He's called you to write that book. He called you to make that movie. He called you to teach bow and arrow at a Christian camp. I don't know what it is. But if you will go on that adventure, it will be amazing. So, to start off, we have Tanya and Greg Skelly.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you're with Pray Roanne. Now, for those who are in Richmond, Virginia this morning, they probably don't know what Roanne is, but Roanne, if I'm not mistaken, is and was the largest county in North Carolina at one point in time.
That is correct.
And used to encompass Davie County and all sorts of other counties, but it's a huge county in the center of North Carolina, and it really is kind of the heart of our state.
That's right. That's right. There's great history there, going all the way back to George Washington and Catawba Indians, and it's pretty. It's an incredible area. But we, in particular, live in Salisbury, which is in Roanne County.
Yes, it is, right at the heart of it.
Yeah. Had
lots of neat stuff in Salisbury.
That's right.
And so, Pray Roanne, what in the world?
Mm-hmm. Roanne is praying. Roanne is praying. God's people are praying in Roanne County. And God is moving in his people, and it's powerful. It's powerful.
And so we're going to find out a little bit about how Pray Roanne happened. They have a wonderful Facebook page, and it's all there at kingdompursuits.com. If you want to see the links, and you can click to that. Second up, we have Bert Jones, and he's with Capital Commission, North Carolina.
That's right.
And so, you know, being a car salesman all these years, obviously commission is a big deal to me. So what is Capital Commission?
So, Robbie, the Capital Commission is a nationwide nonprofit, non-political ministry, but it operates in the political arena. We operate in the state capitals in our nation. We operate in Raleigh, and we are there to minister to the capital community. We're right there with the legislature, with the staffers, with the lobbyists, with all those that are operating right there at the state capitol, and we're providing chaplaincy services. We're providing Bible studies, and we have a lot of ministries going on, events, chapel services, prayer breakfasts. We do the National Day of Prayer, pre-election prayer walk. So there are a lot of there is a lot of ministry that is operating through the Capital Commission and the state minister there in Raleigh.
Wow. And how long have you been with Capital Commission?
So I am actually transitioning. I am the new incoming state minister with Capital Commission. I have been a legislator in Raleigh for the past 8 years. And so I have been a part of Capital Commission as a legislator participating with Capital Commission. I made the decision early in my fourth term that I would retire at the end of this term. So I'm retiring from the legislature. And when we return for the General Assembly in 2019, I will be the state minister for a Capital Commission. So
how cool
I'm transitioning
is that?
To that role.
It just happened to land on my show right now. I mean, I'm excited. I am very excited to hear what Bert has to share. He probably has insight that is amazing, especially in the state of North Carolina. But speaking of commissions, you knew I would do that, didn't you? Rachel, this is where we play the music because I can't do my jokes without them. I'm sorry. There it is. Speaking of commissions, Wall Street bankers who receive good commissions, well, what you know about them is they come from good stock. Think through that. It'll come to you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, many car salesmen ask for a draw on their commissions. And of course, back when I was a dealer, I would offer him a pencil. Uh-oh, my music stopped. And it didn't. Okay, we're starting again. I like that. So the church sent out in twos, right? Because people are on a commission. You've heard of that? And they were called forth on the double. Just saying. And of course, we do have to have one groaner in there for those who like a good groaner. And I think this one is. The commission bell ringers died. You could say they were dead ringers.
Aww.
So with all those shenanigans, yes, we would have a riddle that you could win today. If you tell us, why did Matthew chapter 28 draw many car salesmen to be baptized? Why did Matthew 28 draw many car salesmen? And I have a few real estate salesmen and an attorney or two. Why did Matthew 28 draw many car salesmen to be baptized? And if you'll call 866 with the answer to that, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Rachel, tell them what they'll win.
They will win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault,
which is just full of amazing books from all the authors that we've had on for years and years. All you got to do is call 866-348-7884 and tell us, why did Matthew chapter 28 draw many car salesmen to be baptized? I'm excited to hear your answers to that, because as usual, my listeners have wonderful insight, biblical insight, that often way exceeds my own. And so it's really cool to see what you might have today on that. 866-348-7884. Okay, getting back to, and we already have a ringer, and they're not even dead. Look. getting back to Tanya and Greg with Pray Roanne, I am dying to know. So there wasn't Pray Roanne, and then there was Pray Roanne. Did you take part in, well, how did God get your attention on that?
Yeah, I was at that. I was doing about a year and a half ago a Bible study, and the Bible study was BSF, International Bible Study.
Oh,
and we
I
were
love
studying,
that. My wife does BSF. It's just great stuff.
It is amazing. You're studying a book out of the Bible in a year's time, so you go really deep. We got to John 17, John 17, 21 through 23, where Jesus is praying to God, and he's praying to God very specifically, and what he's saying in that passage is that he prays that believers would be united as he is with God, as you are in me and I am in you. And
That union is a phenomenal, because he wanted us to be connected to him like he's connected to his Father. Well, think about that.
That's right.
I mean, holy worm, oh my goodness.
But he also talks about believers being unified together.
Right.
And what he goes on to say is, when believers are unified, that is when the world will know that I was sent. And so that was kind of, that scripture kept coming to me through a commentary with J. Vernon McGee and other studies. And it was just a matter of prayer. And we ended up holding a prayer breakfast and inviting key leadership in Rowan County, all seven mayors, key pastors. And we held a prayer breakfast, and we had a guest speaker from Billy Graham, and who spoke on revival. And then we asked that, you know, be praying. How is God going to show us to have a prayer event? And we thought one-time prayer event. And a couple of weeks later, we had our second meeting. And that's how Pray Rowan came about. Really quickly, we came up with the name. We came up with the logo. We ended up having a committee of about 25 people. We have five different committees underneath that. And October 7th of last year, we had our first prayer gathering on the courthouse steps in Rowan County in Salisbury. And about 500 people came out. And it was amazing.
Wow. So it all started with BSF. And a really neat story about how Body of Christ comes together in different ways. We got lots more coming from Prayer Roanne and Capital Commission. Oh my goodness, do we have a guest loaded for bear over there? And Albert has got the answer to Matthew 28's riddle. And somebody else called. So call in 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we have Tanya and Greg Skelly with Prairie Oann and Bert Jones, newly appointed to the Capitol Commission. We're going to find out so much more about that. I'm very, very excited about it. But first we have Albert, who has got an answer to why did Matthew chapter 28 draw so many car salesmen to be baptized? Albert?
Hello.
Hello. So glad
because there was a great commission to be made.
There really is, isn't there?
A great commission.
Yeah. Being a car salesman most of my life, I was just really thinking that this was a deal. And I have come to find out there is probably no better commission that you will ever to receive than to actually experience someone coming to Christ.
Amen.
You know, last weekend I was doing a boot camp and Bill Mixon came and hosted for us. But there was a guy who came to boot camp who really had told his mother, I hate I'm going to this thing. I know I'm not going to learn anything. It's going to be crazy. These people are nuts. And he was so convicted, he came to Christ, and last Sunday, he was baptized in the lake at the boot camp. you talk about a commission. I mean, oh my soul, it's like, wow. And that whole idea of baptism, when you get to see it like that, that you're baptized into the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
And I think about your John, 17, right? That you're being into that name. Albert, I'm so glad you called in today. Thank you, buddy.
Amen. God bless.
You're a winner. God bless.
Thank you.
So as we are called into that name, right, he gives us different passions. And so, you know, we have Bert Jones here with us. And Bert, I am really interested. Like, you're sitting there one day and God says, Bert, I want you to run for political office. What? Can you take us to that?
Well, there's an interesting story that goes with that. But when I did first run for the state legislature, I had been asked and kind of recruited, I guess you would say, to run. And I really felt like at first that the Lord was not calling me to that. I was involved in other things at the time that really I felt like it just wasn't the time. But as time went on and I prayed about it, and I was involved in trying to recruit someone else to run, a like-minded believer that would go and serve. That person didn't materialize, and so finally it's like, Lord, is it I? And to make a long story short, the first time that I ran for the legislature, I was actually an unaffiliated voter at that particular moment in time, and that had never been done in North Carolina. And so I said, well, I know that the Lord wants me to run. I don't know if he wants me to win. Not too many people out there thought that an unaffiliated candidate could win. But with God, all things are possible. So we became the first in the state to do that, as far as I'm aware, at least in modern times. So with all that said, 8 years. No, go ahead.
Do they reelect you every 2 years in that?
Yes.
And so you had four elections after that. Did you stay unaffiliated?
No, I didn't. I actually ran. I had formerly been involved in the Republican Party, and people knew that I was the conservative candidate, that I would caucus with the Republicans. And so sometime after the election, I did rejoin the Republican Party.
You know what I'm most excited about? I've wondered what caucus with means all my whole life. And now, what does that actually mean, to caucus with somebody?
To meet, basically. I mean, in Raleigh, we have two political parties in operation, and each party meets and decides their platform and how they're going to work together. Politics is a team sport. You really can't go and do anything on your own. You've got to work with other people. And in a legislature, you've got to have a majority of the votes. So it's a team sport. So it's basically your team getting together. And, there are times when, votes don't always fall with party lines. There are other issues as well. But typically, politics is a team sport.
You're in the huddle. You're calling plays.
Yeah.
Right. It's what's going on when we're caucusing.
To make the sports analogy, you know, there's always, you know, the leader, they're the people in the forefront, the people that are sometimes, you know, seen more maybe in front of the media or whatever, but those linemen are out there making the blocks. And maybe the people who are a little bit more behind the scenes. So there is a sports analogy to be made, but
it certainly is a team. I'm so glad I listen to my own show. I get to learn stuff.
There you go.
So I'm sure that, you know, this is an obvious thing, but I think it's more than cool. That how awesome is it that we now have a Capitol commissioner that has been trained in what those people actually experience? In other words, it's one thing for me to pray for the Skellies to go pray Roanne, but it's another thing for me to pray for a car salesman, because guess what I know? I know exactly what that feels like. And so I just think, you know, how amazing is it that God trained you in a situation to where you would have insight that nobody else could possibly have?
Well, it's a tremendous blessing for me, and hopefully will be for the ministry. You know, I've really had the opportunity over my 8 years there to make the relationships with others and to be a part of the ministry there. One of the things we were able to accomplish shortly after we were elected 8 years ago, we established the North Carolina Legislative Prayer Caucus. We were one of the first states in the country to do that.
There's some serious caucusing.
There's some
serious
caucusing.
It's like, well, you guys are caucusing. And, I hadn't even thought about that.
That's
when
right.
you pray Roanne, you're caucusing.
That's right.
And as I was thinking, I was like, you know, the spiritual warfare around Raleigh, around mm-hmm. the capital there in Roanne, mm-hmm. has to be phenomenal. The temptations and all those kind of things. So you guys weren't opposed at all when you tried to set up this Pray Roanne thing, were you?
We weren't opposed, but we...
you were. The answer to that is absolutely. Satan was not happy about that.
Well, yes, you're absolutely correct. He's not happy.
And he threw stuff your way that you did not expect.
Yes, and you would expect that with even, you know, individual people that are coming alongside of that for sure. But God is greater. He is bigger.
And so did you sense something creepy that was coming against you when you began that? I wonder.
There was some stuff that was coming there was some pushback. I won't go into detail because it's not important because again,
those who are with you are greater than those against you.
That's right. And what is continuing, you know, being a year and a half, Pray Rowan has been going on for, we celebrated 1 year and actually meeting, we're 1 year and 3 months now where consistently we have met every month. And the community is coming together and we see new faces and we're growing in numbers. And so again, it's God is prevailing. He is greater.
Yeah. And so Greg, your view on that?
Well, I think my view is, you know, I retired as an Army officer back in 2012 and, you know, we ended up in Salisbury. That's another story, but,
Well, thank you for your service. So, what kind of Army officer were you?
Well, you know, I had a kind of a unique Army experience. I graduated from University of Florida and then enlisted, went in the Rangers for a couple years.
Wow.
Then officer candidate school and was put in primarily logistics branches from there. But, you know.
So you understand battle at a level I do not. Well, if you are a Ranger, I'm saying that's certainly the case. So, yeah, I'm really interested even more so in your take on that from your perspective.
I think God clearly gave my wife the vision, and I just remember her coming to me and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing. And I'm the nuts and bolts guy. I was like, okay, you know, how do we make this happen? Do we, you know, need a venue? Need to, you know, what are we going to need to make it happen? And that's, I feel like, where I have come alongside her to just support and make it happen. She's got the big picture and, you know, I'll get in there and what can we do to make it happen?
So I'll tell you a really creepy story that I didn't really know I was going to tell on the air, but I guess I will because it just seems to make so much sense. Yeah, I told you about the baptism last week at the boot camp. So there's a guy that leads Masculine Journey Radio by the name of Sam Main, and we're supposed to have the boot camp starting Thursday. On Monday, he tears both of his hamstrings to where he can't even sit down. and he's at the beach at the time. So not only can he not stand, I mean, not, you know, sit down, he can't drive back because he literally can't sit because he's torn both his hamstrings. Then one of the other leaders, Darren Kuhn, who's of the group, he gets gout on Tuesday. And he can barely walk. In fact, he comes to boot camp on a walker. And so Wednesday night, Tuesday night, I'm excited about the boot camp and excited about going to battle for God and what's going to happen with this group of men coming in. And I have this horribly creepy dream. Horribly creepy dream where I'm sitting at this party with a bunch of people I don't really want to be around. And so I go find a little corner to sit by myself and I'm reading or I'm doing something. And these really two strange-looking men that look like muscle come up in the dream, and the one of them bends over to me, and he says, I'm going to sleep with you. Now, I've never dealt with that kind of thing in my whole life, and I've never had anything like, I'm no dream. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? And so I freak out in the dream, and I start to run. But when I run, my leg cramps. And it cramps so badly that it wakes me up. And when we come back, I'll tell you what Jesus showed me about that dream. And then as things have unfolded over the last week, I think your mind's going to be blown at what the spiritual warfare that was around that camp that I had no idea was at stake and what was going on, but how God had led me right straight in the middle of the battle. So you'll hear that when we come back, plus more. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have with us Tanya and Greg Skelly with Pray, Roanne, as well as Bert Jones with Capital Commission North Carolina. We got so much to share with you from them, but as we left our hero Robbie in the middle of his prayer, cramped up and sitting there, what in the world? And a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, it taught me something about spiritual warfare, that when you know you're under attack and it becomes clear to you, which obviously is I woke up with my leg cramped and I'm having to walk around the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and with both my friends out with leg problems, I've just, you know, even Robbie can put it together that this might be an attack. And he said, you can literally ask a spirit its name. Now that may sound fruitcakes to you, but it's okay. Just give Robbie credit to say that I believe this. And once you have that spirit's name, it's easier to come against it. And so understanding that I was under attack, I asked that spirit its name, and we dealt with that spirit, actually sent him to his judgment, et cetera, et cetera. That was not the hard part. But then I said, Jesus, what in the world? You know, what is this attack? What's this about? And he said, come with me. And he took me. And it was the creepiest thing. I'm telling you that the skin on my was crawling. I had goosebumps, all this stuff. As Jesus took me down, and there were two walls that were restraining all these horrible demons, unbelievably horrible demons, and they were uttering things that were unbelievable, and all this stuff was going on as we're walking through there. And Jesus knew that I was freaked out, and he was like, Robbie, I'm with you. You're good. And I'm like, well, you know, he could tell I was freaked out. He said, I want you to see, number one, what you're up against. And these are the spirits that were there at Sodom because they were coming after the rescuers, those angels that wanted to rescue Lot. These are those guys, and they get really mad when somebody shows up to rescue in certain situations like this. And I want you to see what you're up against, but I also want you to know that I'm with you and you're going to be okay. So, you know, we go on and we do the boot camp, and we saw all kinds of breakthrough and all this stuff. It was wonderful. But I shared this dream with several people that were going on, and then one of them says, Robbie, because we shared the camp with another group that is actually called the Ultimate Escape. And what it turned out was going out the camp while we were there was this Ultimate Escape group. Well, the leader's name is Steve Holiday with the Church of Christ, had been molested at that camp when he was 16 years old, and he was coming to that camp for the first time since his molestation to come up against those spirits and to lead a group that was larger than our own group in what healing and deliverance comes from that kind of molestation.
Wow.
I'm still sitting here just like, oh my goodness. And so in my view, Jesus knew. Now, I had no idea about it. I mean, I didn't have any idea while I was at the camp, but Jesus knew that here we were coming into the midst of this warfare, and he wanted me to do what you guys were doing, get prayed up and get prepared for battle. And so it's fascinating to me, it really is, that my friend Greg here was in the military, and one of the things he said during the break that you didn't get to hear is that Satan is all about divide and conquer. And when you think about the political process, I can't think of a more divide and conquer, you know, division. So how wonderful is it that he's called you, a warrior, and your wife into this battle for union for his people in the state of North Carolina? And then we got, Bert over here, and they have to be on the same show. I mean, you don't think God was in the middle of all this? Really?
Right in the middle of it, no doubt.
And so share the story you shared at the break on how God kind of dropped some of this in your lap.
Sure. Well, like I was saying, we retired from the Army in 2012, and God led me to junior ROTC to teach that in high school. And I guess I was at the school for about a year and just trying to think, what can I do in the school to be more kingdom-minded? And I was walking down the hallway, and I saw a sign that someone had put at the intersection of this hallway, and it was for Youth Commission International Club meeting. And it gave the time and the date and the room number of the teacher sponsor who was in charge of it. And I happened to be on my planning period, so I just said, or the Holy Spirit said, you need to go. And so I went in there, and as I'm walking to this teacher's room, I'm thinking, well, they're going to be in the middle of a class. I won't be able to talk to them anyway. So I'll just at least peek in and see who it is. And anyway, I get to the room, and sure enough, she's on her planning period too. And so it gave me an opportunity to sit down and find out, so what is YCI, or Youth Commission International, all about, and what's going on with it? Then we had a pretty good conversation, and then she said, oh, by the way, I'm retiring this year, so if you would like to do this and take over, it's yours. So there you go. Lord just gift-wrapped a Bible club for me in high school.
Right, and there you are in the midst of that,
yeah.
Where I'm sure that Satan would like to divide and conquer. And so he gave you guys a vision of a mission statement. And so I'd love to hear what that is, if you want to read that for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is for Pray Rowan.
This is for Pray Rowan's mission statement. Pray Rowan believes that revival in the church, God's people, and a spiritual awakening in the whole culture is essential, and that it is our only hope. We are a solemn assembly that gathers people from all ages, denominations, political affiliations, and cultural backgrounds in prayer. We are Christians coming together to call upon Jesus, praying for racial reconciliation, strong godly marriages, our elected officials, first responders, our students and teachers, and for revival. We pray against violence, drugs, and racism in our community. In John 17:21-23, Jesus prayed to God that believers would be one in complete unity, because that's when the world will know that Jesus was sent. Therefore, we rely on the promise of 2 Chronicles 7:14 and pray for a grassroots movement of deep humility that is expressed in repentance and turning to holiness by God's people.
Wow. And so similarly, right, Bert, can you kind of share about Capital Commission, kind of what their mission is?
Absolutely. The bottom line is that we're serving Christ in the Capital community. And, 1 Timothy 2 commands us to pray for our leaders at all levels of government. And certainly as believers, we want godly leaders. We want people who know Christ, who have a biblical worldview, who will govern in that way. And we just have a tremendous opportunity to reach the leaders of our state with the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We are there sharing weekly Bible studies. We are providing chaplain ministry, one-on-one ministry, walking side by side and hand in hand with people there, building those relationships. We're there for them. Legislators really are people too. We tend to demonize or dehumanize politicians, but people who serve in government have the same. They're a reflection of our society, and they have the same needs and problems and everything else that everybody else does. And to have a Christian chaplain there to be able to provide services for them, to build those relationships, to teach the Word of God, to have chapel services, it's invaluable. So we have an opportunity to reach the leaders of our state and those who are influencing them, to help them to come to Christ or to grow in their faith, those who are believers. It's a tremendous encouragement to the Christians who serve there to get to be a part of a ministry like that and build relationships with other believers and to see them grow in their faith. And that's what we exist for. We're just serving Christ in that community by serving our leaders and the staffers and those that help them. And the bottom line,
in this season, you know, based on the election we just had and some of the things that you see our government, especially the state of North Carolina's government, facing right this minute from your inside position, what would you share with our listeners is a great prayer need right now?
I think just the ability for our leaders to truly to glorify God in what we do, to recognize that, you know, it's not about D's and R's. It's not about politics, if you will. I mean, we are one nation under God, and the Word of God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If we are going to succeed as a nation, we're not going to do it without the Lord. We're not going to do it without the Lord's blessings. And I think that we just need to be in prayer that we get beyond the games of politics and so forth and pray for our leaders that they will truly see that they're bigger than something than themselves, that what we're really there for is, you know, it's a ministry. I mean, if you're an elected official, the Word of God says that you're a minister of God. God ordained human government. I think that's something that Christians need to get a handle on. When it can be very discouraging at times if you hear Christians say, well, we don't want to have anything to do with the government. You know, it's just a bunch of, you know, crooked politicians, this and that. We need to remember that God ordained human government, and God ordained that elected officials are to be ministers of God. And if we can help convey that view to those who are serving and help them to be able to govern with the idea that, you know, it's not just about my team winning, or it's not just about, you know, winning an election or this or that. You know, we're there for a reason. And hopefully that reason is to bring glory to God in what we do. And so, you know, the Capitol Commission is there to build up our leaders, to build them up in their faith, to help them to grow, that they might have a more biblical worldview and be able to make decisions not based on politics, but based on the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, we have an interesting story coming from Lebanon when you come on the other side of the break that might illustrate kind of what both these guests, as I was thinking about it, have been involved in. And, wow, we got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up with Tanya and Greg Skelly, Burt Jones with Capitol Commission, more insight on the results of this election. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're blessed to have with us Tanya and Greg Skelly with Pray Roanne and Burt Jones with Capitol Commission. As always, you can find out more about them and their ministries at kingdompursuits.com under Pray Roanne or Capitol Commission of North Carolina, and links to their websites, et cetera, there at kingdompursuits.com. Now, some years ago, it might have been 10 or 12 years ago, I interviewed a missionary. I don't know that he was a missionary. He was a pastor in Lebanon. And he described to me something I've never forgotten, that when Lebanon was being invaded by Syria at the time and all the, you know, they were coming in and there were radicals all over the place killing people right and left and all this stuff is happening, and refugees were coming from all over the place based on the violence that was involved in Lebanon at the time. He said all of a sudden it did not matter if you were a Presbyterian or a Catholic or what affiliation you had as far as your Christian religion. If you were a believer, that became very obvious, very clearly. And the Presbyterians got together with the Catholic to create housing for the refugees coming together. And he said, you've never seen the church come together like it did in the midst of this war. And the truth is, we are at war. I'm just saying, whether you realize it or not, I can assure you that there's many, many times that you can see in Scripture that, you know, don't be surprised that that the devil's run around trying to devour he's trying to devour every single brother, whether they're Democrat or Republican, whether or not, you know, they're independent or if they're Presbyterian or they're Baptist. Okay, that's just, and so when, you know, all that comes together, it didn't matter to you that you were in the Army if you were getting shot at and a Marine showed up or somebody in the Navy, did it?
No, we're on the same team, and you're exactly right. I think we live in a situation where I think I read somewhere that there had been more Christian martyrs created in the last 100 years than there have been in history. So it's going on. It's just I think we're so blessed in America that sometimes we lose sight on there is a war. It's a spiritual war, and Christians are being persecuted and dying literally every day. And that should draw us together, not only to pray for them, but to draw us together and come together as a community and do what we need to do to save our country.
Right, which again gets back to the concept. If God's, like, you know, he shows up for me, I have no idea what's going on at this camp. I got no idea about this and that. God has showed up for you, and he's saying, engage here. You don't understand at the time why you need to engage there. You just know that he told you, engage here. Go run for office, even though you didn't know later on. This is, you know, all that was going on. But now you find, you know, oh, it's making sense to me now, and it's coming into focus. And so as you start those Bible studies, I'm really curious, how do you go invite people?
Well, fortunately, the Capitol Commission has been operating there at the General Assembly for the past several years now. So there is ongoing ministry even now that the General Assembly is out of session. But, you know, when we return for the 2019 session, you're going to have several folks returning who have been a part of Capitol Commission and are familiar with it. And we'll be able to spread the news to the new ones coming in. Of course, myself, but the other legislators as well, just inviting them to come and to be a part. So it's a group effort, but it's a continuing ministry, and we're just very blessed to be welcome to serve there. That's just a continuing prayer request. We don't work for the government, and we're not supported by tax dollars or anything like that, but we operate at capitals, Raleigh and other state capitals as well, by the pleasure of the legislative leaders. We have to be welcome to serve there. So just a continuing prayer request that we remain welcome to serve. And fortunately, we have a lot of legislators that want us there and are actively participating in the ministry. And we just see grow.
Obviously, you've been to these Bible studies.
Exactly.
I'm guessing, but I just thought I'd ask, are they all Republicans?
No, it's, you know, they're not, you know,
I didn't think they were. I was just throwing it out there.
No. And again, you know, we are a nonpartisan ministry. We don't get in there, and we're not there to lobby issues. We're not there to lobby politics. We're about spreading the gospel. We're about spreading the word of God. And so it's open to everyone, whether it's a Bible study or a prayer breakfast or a chapel service or whatever. And one of the good ministries as well is just going around to all of those offices. We not only have the Bible study in a room where people are meeting, but that Bible study is actually going out in the form of an email, and it's also going out in the form of a paper copy that's going on every legislator's desk and to every legislative assistant. And just to go around to those offices and build those relationships with everyone, and, you know, even the ones that don't get to physically come maybe to the Bible study, they can read the Bible study, and I know a lot of them do. So, you know, the Word of God is going out, and it's not going to return void. It's going to work in the hearts of those that, you know, we just put it out there. The Lord provides the increase. The Lord does the work. So we just, we're just humbled that the Lord chooses to use the likes of us to help accomplish His work. Amen.
And Tanya, you had a situation where you were approached by a certain party, and all of a sudden you got a warning. Why, share that. I would love to hear that.
Well, it wasn't a warning from a party, but what it is a warning of is be careful that you don't identify yourself more with being Republican or Democrat. Do not identify yourself more with being black or white. Do not identify yourself more with being Baptist or Lutheran or whatever it is than the gospel. You must identify with the gospel first and foremost. Stand on the gospel, because anything else that you potentially Satan can use to divide and conquer. And there is an amazing, I've shared this at Pray Rowan, there is an amazing song called Define Me. And basically it says, you know, that he doesn't use a pitchfork, he doesn't have a tail, he comes disguised as fears and lies to remind you when you failed. He doesn't wear a red suit, and he doesn't smell like smoke. He sneaks around till he finds your doubt, and that's where he makes his home. But when he comes for you, all you've got to do is look at the devil square right in the eye and tell him that I believed you for the very last time. Devil, I know you've been lying to me. You don't define me. Because all your power has been swept away. Your threats are as empty as Jesus's grave. So devil, get behind me. You don't define me. He knows the ways we're different when we're tempted to choose a side, takes the beauty in our diversity, and he'll use it to divide. He'll split us over doctrine or the color of our skin. And when we fight with fear and hate, he's the only one who wins. So we have to be mindful.
I think a lot of listeners are going, I need to know where that is so I can check that. What is that that you just read?
It is it's a song by, let me look up his name. But the song is called Define Me. I believe it came out a year ago. It's a Christian song. And Johnny Diaz wrote that song. And I heard it on the radio, and I have a car where I can replay. I could pause, replay. And I just listened to it for probably half an hour over and over and over. And when
I love songs like that, don't you? Where
you
just get into your soul.
Yeah.
And you can see that, you know, that one hit its mark in you and certainly to your calling.
Yes.
And don't you find that fascinating that, you know, God is there once he begins to get you walking in what he designed you to do, to sort of reinforce your heart with things that other people that are share the vision.
He wants us available. He wants us available. When we're available, he can then use us how he sees fit. And he will put the right people in your life. And he has done that. I have friends today, Greg and I do, through Pray Rowan, that are our brothers and sisters that we did not know a year and a half ago. And
they probably don't go to your church.
They don't go to our church. They don't look like us. Our cultural backgrounds are different. But I can't imagine doing life going forward without them. And what a blessing it is. And so, you know, and that is what Pray Rowan is. It's a community of believers coming together, trusting that, you know, God is hearing our prayers. He's going to answer our prayers. But we also know that it's not in a vacuum. What he is doing is far greater than we could even ask or imagine. And
right.
So
and I have to say one other thing.
Yeah.
Because we're running out of time. That if you look at the stage of the masculine journey as men, you know, the warrior phase is for young men that are 18 to go in there and go into battle. But as you get older, you get to be a king and you get some influence, which obviously when we look at Burt's, he was a legislator, which gave him tremendous amounts of voice in what's going on. But I want you to think what God's done now. See, he's gone into the sage stage. Now he's teaching other legislators, right? What he learned and his influence, even though he's no longer a legislator, my guess is God's going to use him for even greater things. So
Amen.
As we pray this day, I would urge you to not only pray for certainly Pray Rowan and certainly pray for Capital Commission, but pray for these people who stepped into the story and are taking their role and that God is using of influence and passion and doing those kind of things. So we are most of all excited that you took your hour to listen to Kingdom Pursuits. Oh, that's such a huge blessing to me. You have no idea. So thank you for listening to the Truth Network. Thank you for listening to this again. You want to find out more about them, go to kingdompursuits.com. Now stay tuned, because you've got so much truth coming at you. The Masculine Journey starts here now, right fresh off of boot camp at 12 o'clock, then followed by Disciple Magazine. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.
Thank you.